Born from the need to feel connected to voices strong and uncollected, from island shores to distant lands, we reach across with open hands, lifting every voice higher, stories told side by side, Pacific Hawaii, on air and online, tuning in together, no matter the weather, united we inspire, Pacifica. From the heart of the industry to your home and family, with new tech and legacy, we share our destiny. Lifting every voice higher, stories told side by side, Pacifica Wire, on air and online. Tuning in together, no matter the weather, united we inspire. Pacifica Wire. We laugh and we learn, we cry and we cheer, though miles apart, we're always near the same show, the same time, a rhythm, a style. Lifting every voice higher, stories told side by side, Pacifica Wire, on air and online. Tuning in together, no matter the weather, united we inspire, Pacifica Wire. Pacifica Wire, we're all on the line, make this your time. Ooh. Lifting every voice higher, stories told side by side, Pacifica Wire, on air and online. Tuning in together, no matter the weather,
Planet FM 104.6 on a Saturday afternoon, evening. We do hope you are having a great afternoon and you've had a great week as well. And we're very grateful that you could join us here, Pacifica Wire. And thank you so much for your time. We're all about connecting our voices. And as I turn to the camera here, we've got a very special voice, a very special person, I should say, who I'm very fortunate, and she's usually on this side of the studio, and she's just brilliant. Over 15 years experience working in this industry of broadcasting, of journalism. She's a communications specialist. She's just done so much, and the very popular and award-winning, I will add, Pacific Waves with RNZ Pacific, and you should be tuning in, and I hope you are, to the one and only Susanna Suisuikui. My Lord, lover Susanna, yay, you're here.
Oh, that introduction. Gosh, I just want to give you your flowers. You know, I met you back in 2018 when I brought in some media students from Fiji and Samoa.
When you were with Pacific Corporation,
yes,
Foundation.
Yes, and you were at Pacific Media Network, PMN News. We struck up like a connection there, yeah. And I really admired your work that you had done there. And so, you know, Gladys is one of those people, if you're an up-and-coming journalist, yeah, you got to meet Gladys. She's the brains, and she has a lot of wisdom to pass on.
Very kind. And no, this is all about you, Susanna.
Gosh, it's so weird. Like, like you said, I'm usually the one doing the interviewing.
Yeah.
So hopefully I don't talk your ears off and make your audiences fall asleep.
No, not at all. We are so grateful. We talked about, you know, connecting our voices. Yeah. You've been doing this for a long time, Susanna. That passion's obviously still there. And like you spoke about briefly, and I hope we get to talk about it later, also your work with Pacific Corporation Foundation. I just loved the fact the work you did with our Pacific Regional colleagues. I mean, there's just something so special. And I think that's the first time I really got an insight into, you know, what our colleagues are doing in the region. And just, that's so special as well. So the fact that you've been part of that world as well is...
I started at Pacific Corporation Foundation in 2018. So it was in my mid-20s at the time. And that place really gave me the introduction to the Pacific region. I mean, you know, I'm a Kiwi-born Samoan, and I've been surrounded by the Samoan community as well as the Tongan community, but I didn't really have that inside knowledge into the other Pacifica communities. And so when I took up that opportunity to do comms at PCF, that really opened my eyes to the other groups of people out there in the Pacific, particularly the Melanesian group. Like, I never knew where Bougainville was.
Yeah.
And so when I met one student who was from Bougainville and had learnt about the tribal wars that was happening there, that really had kind of widened my horizons and was like, oh my gosh, there's so much happening in the Pacific space, in the Pacific regional space.
Yeah.
Even though I was just so... like invested like in my own bubble, I guess, like with a domestic Pacific community here in Aotearoa. And so, like PCF, like I said before, it really introduced me to the region. I was very fortunate to bring in students from Fiji, Samoa, to give them an opportunity, give them some time in newsrooms around Auckland and just give them... allow them to engage with other reporters and journalists and editors. And funnily enough, while I was doing that media internship program at PCF, that's when I was introduced to Moira. Moira, who's Pacific, the manager at RNZ Pacific. And
shout out to Moira.
Yes. And shout out actually to Natasha from Pacifica TV, because her crew at the time, we were in the same office space as Pacifica TV. So PCF and Pacifica TV, they were working in the same office. And when I was brainstorming which media newsrooms, you know, we can bring on board to help with the students from the Pacific region, Natasha was like, why don't you try RNZ Pacific? I know the manager there, her name is Moira, and she happens to be Samoan. And I cracked up laughing, because you know our Samoans, like, once you say, oh, she's Samoan, we're like, oh, yeah, okay, cool. Yeah.
Click.
And so, that week I met with Moira at the Auckland office in Hobson Street, the RNZ Auckland office. And me and Moira talk about this now still. She was saying, you know, it's funny that their first meeting we had at Hobson Street in 2018, that was like a foreshadowing moment, like, for you. Because I didn't know, well, at the time, like, I didn't think that I'd ever end up at Radio New Zealand.
Yeah.
So it's funny how the universe, or even God, like, he has a sense of humor. So
indeed,
once you're called somewhere, you know, that's where you're meant to be.
And full circle for you, and like you were, you know, talking about part of your journey there, when did that spark really hit you? Because I know you did a lot of written articles. You went to the United Nations, is that correct, back in the day?
Yes, not like in New York, but the United Nations Small Islands Developing States Conference.
Nice.
Which Samoa had hosted in 2014, and it was such a big deal for Samoa.
Huge.
Like, I think that was one of the first big international conferences that they hosted. I mean, they had CHOGM in 2 years ago, but I think for them, the United Nations conference, that was like
world stage,
big deal. Yeah. And
you got to be there.
Yeah, I got to be there. I remember the opening ceremony when they had the school children do these performances, and I remember the former Miss Samoa woman, they were doing the Tawalunga. I still remember getting chills from that performance, and yeah, it's just one of those moments where you're like, you know, I'm right where I need to be. And I was fortunate enough, like, during the conference to meet so many wonderful delegates, not only from the Pacific, but from the Caribbean, you know, far-flung places like in China and all these other little countries, these small islands that I've never heard of. Barbados, yeah. Yeah, that's those are all the little small islands that I can think of at the moment. But that was 2014, so that was so many moons ago. And, you know, credit also to Bernadette Pereira. She was the one who, she mentored me while I was at uni. And so she encouraged me to go and attend United Nations. While I was taking this paper at uni, it was like professional comms. And everyone in my class at that time, I remember they were doing work experience in all these organizations, these wonderful organizations. But, you know, typical Bernadette, she was like, you know, think big. Try and get to places where there's like multinational presence there, like the United Nations. Just to kind of like broaden my scope of what's happening in the world and stuff like that. So I think, you know, all those little opportunities that I've had, like in my early 20s, it prepared me for like the role that I'm in right now. You know, having that regional focus.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And for you, when was it that you were like, I'm in the, you know, you've touched on it, but I want to tell people stories?
Honestly, glad it started way early. I think I remember it was in primary school. I was 6 years old, and our teacher, she had read us this book. It was called The Lady and the Alligator Purse.
Oh, wow.
And so she, when we were reading the book, I remember I just started acting out the story. And everyone and my classmates were like, oh, my God, look at her. She's just, like, acting out the story. She's not just reading it, but she's actually becoming, like, the main character in the book. Main character in the book.
You're in it. Yeah.
And so that's, I guess that's where my love of storytelling had come from, was primary school. But my father and his family, my parents have split now, but they encouraged me to, you know, embrace education and to always have my head in the books. Nice. At first I was like, I'm sick of reading. But then over time, I always found myself just reading, even at my grandmother's house. Like, I'll always be perched up on a couch and I'll just have like a book. And my cousins will be outside playing tiki, whatever, but then there's me
in the books,
just lost in the lost in the books. So yeah, and then in high school, I started doing media studies, and I took up drama. And I was thinking to myself, you know what? Because I love reading and I enjoy writing, maybe media is
right.
The pathway for me. And so when it came to my last year of high school, I went to Bowdoin College in Remuera. I was, you know, deciding where to go.
Yeah.
And so I remember enrolling myself into UniTech because I remember there was like a filmmaking course that they had done and they only took in a certain amount of people. And then I also enrolled myself into AUT University's comms course. And so I got accepted into both programs, but then with AUT, they offered me a full scholarship. And so I was like, hey, I'm not going to pass up on some free education. I might as well go to
AUT. Why not?
Yeah. So, yep, went to AUT. And, you know, those introductory papers into radio, journalism, PR. And I remember I did radio, and I didn't like it.
Yeah,
and it's so funny because I work in radio now, It's like
the irony.
Exactly. God has a funny sense of humor.
He does.
And then I ended up majoring in public relations, but I felt like I chickened out because I went to AUT University doing the comms course with the intention of majoring in journalism because I felt there was like, I knew that was like
natural progression.
Yeah. Yes, natural progression. But I came out with a degree and I majored in PR. And then my first proper, I guess, job was at County's Manukau Health District Board. Anne Fitzsimanu, thank you, Anne, wherever you are. She got me an internship with the DHB at County's Manukau. Well, everyone would just say it's Miramore Hospital.
Okay.
So I spent a year there just gaining some practical experience in communications. And then from there, I did comms for Public Relations Institute New Zealand. Spent a year there, and then after a year at Prince, then I went on to PCF.
Gosh.
So yeah, spent a large chunk of my career in comms. Like I'm still, I feel that I'm still new to journalism.
Is that right?
Yeah, even though it's like what, going on 5 years.
Yeah, it's been a while.
But time flies, eh? Yeah. And so in 2021. That's when we had the lockdown, the COVID lockdown. And I remember sitting there and I was like, am I really living up to my potential? Like, I remember thinking to myself, man, I had all these dreams about being a journalist and I just felt like I needed a new direction. I don't know what it is about lockdown, but you just
changed
can't
everything,
help.
Eh?
Yeah, but reflect on what you're doing with yourself. And I remember seeing online the RNZ vacancy site that they were looking for an RNZ Pacific journalist.
Meant to be, eh?
Yeah. And then I was like, should I go for it?
Yeah.
Should I? I don't know. And so I messaged Moira because we already had like that professional working relationship, I guess. And I go, hi, Moira. I don't have any journalism experience, but, you know, I've done a lot of years in comms.
Mm.
Like, can I still apply for the role? And she was like, yes, absolutely, go for it. You know, she said that she's seen my work on the PCF website, profiling all these amazing people from the Pacific, and she thought, hey, why not? Just give it a go.
Yeah.
And so I applied, and then I didn't hear back from them until, like, I think October or September that year. And then that's when we were doing the whole Zoom team online meeting. And so that's how I did my interview. I was at home. And I remember I was so nervous during that interview because I was like, what am I going to say? Like, how can I speak to my experience? How is that going to be applicable to this role?
Yeah.
And I remember one of the questions that the panel had asked was, if you were a sport, what would you be and why? And then I was like, and then I go, I'll be like a relay race because you know, like working in a team, and so
nice analogy.
Yeah, I don't know how I pulled that off, but and initially I didn't get the role, but then another RNZ Pacific journalist role had popped up in the same year, and I was like, okay, you know what, I'll ask again.
Yeah.
And so Moira was like, yeah, go for it again. And then I did. And then, long story short, they offered me a role there, RNZ Pacific. Mm. And so I started there in 2022 on Valentine's Day. So that's how I remember my work anniversary.
The day of love. The day of loving media journalism. Nice.
That first year, right, at RNZ Pacific, I was like, wow, okay, so this is journalism, like tight deadlines with radio, like you know, you would know, like our outputs have got to be quick. There's a certain pace to it. It's not like comms where you can, well, it's not take your time, but with radio you're expected to file stuff on the daily.
Yeah.
And so that was like a real crash course. That year I was like, and even in my interviews, I would think to myself, am I asking the right questions? Like, I don't want to like come sound off, I don't want to come off sounding like I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like, there's a certain style as a journalist, right? Like, when you ask questions, and the advice that my colleagues would tell me is, like, just keep it simple. Remember the basics, the what, when, why, how, I spent the first year news gathering, like, trying to look for some interesting stories. What does balance, accuracy look like?
Yeah.
Being fair as well. Because when you're in comms, you're trying to make the organisation or your boss look good, and with comms as well, there's like a certain language that you've got to take on when you're writing newsletters and, CEO, letters and stuff. But with journalism, you got to keep the language simple.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember my first web story. My editor was just like, psh, psh, psh.
Yes, like, I remember those things.
Like,
can't get an ego in this job, that's for sure.
Like, what are you trying to say in the story?
It's like, excuse
me. I thought it sounded nice.
And I was like, well, I liked it.
It's like, no.
I know, that big red cross.
Mm-hmm. And even with the radio copy, it's like three sentences, a tape. And you're good to go. But I was just like, I wasn't my sangi to that. I wasn't used to that, I was used to these long airs.
I was going to ask you, because you've got the best of both worlds, because they used to say that, comms and journalism were kind of like, these two forces that clashed, or they didn't, work together. But there's a lot of synergy there, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And they're quite similar. Well, not really, but... And it's funny, when I first started, people will be like, where did you come from? Like, did you come from News Hub, or what other media entities that you came from? And I was like, no, like, I'm from comms. And they're like, what? That's such a strange crossover. It's usually journalism to comms.
Exactly.
But you've done the opposite. And they're like, why did you do it? I was like, well, I always wanted to be a journalist, like, and it's a good challenge.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, but do you miss the pay?
Yes, and I was going to, politely bring that in, because we've chosen the poor side of media, haven't we?
Yeah.
We're confessing that to everybody now.
But, oh, God.
Journalism pays semi-okay. It pays the bills. Can I say that?
But you're never bored in journalism, though.
No, you're never bored, yeah.
But,
and I remember you and I got to go on our first mission together to Melanesia, Micronesia. And one of the things that really impressed me about you, Susanna, was you're fearless. You just got in there. And when we were in Fiji, and I just remember me and Alice were standing there, we were going, whoa, 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 watch Susanna, man. She's going for her story. And I thought to myself, should I be doing the same? And I thought, no, Susanna's got it. And I just loved your fearlessness. And it was, but you did it really respectfully.
Yeah.
You didn't just charge in there,
No.
And I just thought, nice. That's, you're showing another way of, it doesn't have to be in your face.
Yes, yeah.
There's ways to do it. And I just thought, Susanna.
Oh, my God. I don't know what it is there about journalism. It just brings out, like, another side to you.
Yeah.
And it's funny that you mentioned that trip, because in my first year at RNZ Pacific, I got sent to Samoa for the Treaty of Friendship anniversary.
Right.
And that's when Jacinda was still the Prime Minister at the time, and Fiona Mair as well for Samoa.
Huge.
And that was, that was another eye-opening experience. Well, of course it was, because everything was so new to me. But I remember the media scrum. And so when Jacinda would do her stand-ups, all the reporters would just, like, chuck their, have their questions ready. And I just thought that I was like, I don't know what to ask.
Yeah.
So that taught me, just get in there. They don't fluff around, I guess. And so when that trip came up for the mission, I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to go all out.
Yeah.
Going to chase, you know, people for comments or whatever. But I didn't want to do it where I was, you know, invading, like, their personal space.
Totally. And for you, are there any, like, stories that have just really stood out for you? I know you've mentioned some of these stories you've, you know, but are there any that have just really stayed with you?
Oh, man, there's a lot, eh?
Yeah.
There's a lot. Maybe I'll just, like, speak on some of the people that I've spoken to this year. I had the opportunity to interview Michael Jackson's choreographers, Rich and Tone Talawinga.
Oh.
They're amazing.
That's a fascinating story.
Yeah.
God.
And it made me so proud as a Samoan.
Mm.
You know, when you hear about other Samoans doing really well in whatever discipline or field that they're in, it motivates you. And so, yeah, I remember asking them, like, how does it feel knowing that you've put Samoa as well as the Pacific on the map?
On the map. And,
and he was saying, oh, it means a lot to them, because even though Samoa or any other Pacific islands, even though they're just like a small dot on the map, there's a wealth of talent, you know, that comes from these islands. And so to see that being presented to the world, to have, like, for us to have this kind of global influence, like, with our talent, you know, it encourages and motivates, like, the younger generation that they too can get to that level.
Mm.
That's been one of my favorite interviews this year.
And the fact that, you know, with the advent of social media technology, able to speak to our, you know, Pasifika community across the globe.
Yes.
Hey, it just feels so much more connected than perhaps maybe 10, 20 years ago,
yes, perhaps. Yes, yes. Yeah, thank goodness for social media and for broadband.
Yeah.
And for Starlink.
Thanks, Starlink. How do you prepare? How do you prepare for... when you're dealing with, you know, celebrities to prime ministers to, you know, community, what's your process?
Man, that's such a good question. When it comes to Pacific leaders, I always get advice from my colleague who's the editor of RNZ Pacific, Koroi Hawkins. He's, yeah, shout out to Koroi, man.
Shout out.
Yeah. He's had so many experience, you know, as a journalist, chasing Pacific leaders himself. I really gauge his advice and knowledge and experience as to, you know, how do I ask this type of question? How do I be respectful but also kind of press, like, these leaders about this certain issue?
Yeah.
And it's funny because as Pacific journalists, naturally, we're respectful, but with journalism, you've got to ask. Sometimes you've got to ask the uncomfortable or hard questions.
Yep.
And I remember watching this potty that had Barbara Dreva in it. She said, "If we don't address those hard issues, it's like sweeping things under the rug."
Yeah.
But when you do address those uncomfortable conversations, it's like just ripping a band-aid
off. Yeah.
And that's how change comes about.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, whenever I'm prepping to interview a Pacific leader, I've got to have that in mind.
Yeah.
You know, I can be respectful, but at the same time, I want to ask about why is this happening in your backyard? Like, what are you going to do about it?
Mm.
What are the solutions? When can we expect for these solutions to happen?
Do you think we have more pressure on us as opposed to non-Pacific journalists, if I can ask that?
Yeah,
because we, well,
question.
Well, they say we're part of the community, but sometimes I feel like, you know, if I've asked a question, I get that look.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, I'm not talking to you again. And I'm like, okay.
There's like a fine balance
it
there,
is,
eh? Like, we want to maintain we want to maintain that relationship with these leaders, and you know, we're taught about the VA and all of that, but we're in a role where we've got to like address the negative or controversial stuff that's happening. And so Koroi always told me that you can ask those uncomfortable questions, but do it in a way that's not, that doesn't make, that doesn't sound like you're gloating.
Oh, nice.
Or you're being arrogant about it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you said that this was going to, this team was going to be around next year. don't ask it like that. Be respectful. Like, I guess have a softer way of asking questions. I remember I did an interview with Oscar Kightley when that whole Last Supper.
Yes, you handled that really well.
Really?
That was, and I was like, and I must, I take my hat off to him, because it's like, he fronted, and you did it in such a way that I was like, there's no other way to ask it, but, you know, straight down the barrel, and I thought, well done.
When that came out, when that cut, that grab that I had
I was like,
from my interview, I was like, oh my gosh, But I'm proud of that interview, because, like I said, we've got to confront that.
And that's exactly what people wanted to know. You know, that was the burning question. We saw that as well. And it's like, well, someone has to ask it.
Yeah.
So, you did that. That was good. And I did. I thought he answered that really well. But at the same time, I was like, but what'd you do it in the first place? So, the Last Supper, come on. You know, there's funny and then there's funny, in my 2-cent opinion.
Yeah, but, you know, shout out to Oscar for coming on Pacific Waves at that time to talk about it.
And, you know, this is a great time to talk about congratulations, Pacific Wave. You were special commendation at the New Zealand Radio Broadcasting and Podcast Awards, and a finalist again, the Best Pacific Podcast that is here in Aotearoa, New Zealand. So we'll give you the details. You must listen to Susanna. When did, you know, taking on this new role, not only were you now going into journalism, now you were presenter, producer.
I mean, I was thinking to myself, I just spent a year, you know, cutting my teeth with trying to be a reporter. And now, you know, I guess it's just a blessing. Just a blessing, that's all I can say. That was another year of, you know, just trying to get my bearings in that role, and learning the art of interviewing, because it's, you know, as a journalist, you have the time to go over your stories or go over your interviews that you had done, so you can like formulate a package. But with Pacific Waves, it's like daily interviews.
That's amazing. Have you do you know how many people you've spoken to?
I have no idea.
Hundreds,
probably.
How cool.
I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know how to do an interview. Do I really want to do this interview? Like, you know, it's just kind of like, I think it's just imposter syndrome that I was experiencing at that year. Because, you know, RNZ, it's full of veterans.
Yeah,
and that brick
for
space,
sure.
You know, seasoned journalists, they could have taken on that presenter's role, but my boss, Moira and Koroi, they believed in me that much. They saw something in me that they thought to themselves, you know what, we'll give Susanna a chance. And, you know, I'm grateful for them every day whenever I press that mic to do Pacific Waves.
Yeah.
And each day, it's just another opportunity or chance for me to be better, to step it up a notch. What was your question again? Sorry, just kind of rambled off.
No, not at all. I mean, just the fact that you've been able to do so many different diverse roles, from communications to, you know, journalism, presenting, broadcasting. But I also want to take back, you know, we talked about this briefly. You were also part of the Miss Samoa New Zealand pageant. She's got beauty and brains to boot. Susanna Suzuki, tell us how that all happened.
Oh, my goodness. I entered my first pageant, actually, in 2014. It was a local, it was a small local one. It was still significant. I shouldn't say, like, small local.
No, that's huge.
Yeah, it was the Miss World East Auckland, because I grew up in East Auckland.
Okay.
And I remember entering it for a laugh. Like, you know, sometimes as islanders, we do stuff on a whim just because. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll enter it for a laugh. And I know that I'll network with business leaders and whoever else can, I guess, give me work experience in media or whatever. And so I entered that. And to my surprise, I was second runner-up for that pageant. I took out the best interview and the best talent. And I remember I remember my interview too on this for the stage. The MC asks me, "What have you learnt about being a beauty pageant?"
Right.
And I didn't have any, you know, prepared answers, because I know the other contestants, they were just kind of like prepping for whatever questions will be thrown at them. And I just go, "You know what? I actually entered this pageant for a laugh." To me, I always thought these beauty pageants were a joke, that they would objectify women. But being a part of this beauty pageant, I've made lifelong friends.
Mm.
I've gotten to know them on a personal level, and I've gotten to know their why as to why they've entered this pageant. And it's helped me with my public speaking skills. How I interact with people, how I interact with leaders, everyday community people, and it has even taught me how to be a better person, how I can be a better person towards my friends and family. So even though I treated this as a joke, I'm so thankful that I took this chance. I gave myself an opportunity to be amongst these beautiful women. And so, yeah, that earned me my best interview.
That's awesome. And isn't it, you know, again, it led you to this path, all of that.
Yes.
All of that learning, the experience that you did there. And, you know, if we fast forward and if we look at the pageants now, I take my hat off. Like the fact that you can do that, stand up in front of everyone and, you know, unfortunately, be criticised, be judged, just on, you know, an hour of just giving it your best and your all.
Especially our Pacific woman.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh, that's a... Oh,
yeah. Oh, gosh. I remember watching the Miss Pacific Islands when Leetara was Miss Samoa.
Wasn't that just...
Gosh.
I mean, we talked about it. Social media is... There's some really good things with it, but we saw the ugly side of that. And I have to take my hat off to Ivan for the stand she's taken with Miss Samoa New Zealand, because it's like, no, this isn't why.
Yeah.
So this isn't what we do. And just those hateful comments. It's
we shouldn't. Yeah, we need to really safeguard our girls.
Oh, yeah.
When it comes to those public spaces, right? Te Eva happens to be my colleague now. But yes, I was part of Miss Samoa New Zealand. It's over 11 years ago now.
Far out.
And I was first runner-up for that.
Nice.
And, yeah, that was another experience that I treasure the most, even though I don't really talk about it. But, no. Being part of those beauty pageants, it did really teach me something, and it taught me not to judge.
Yeah,
you know why girls enter those sort of forums. You know, they have valid reasons. It's not all about just hair and makeup and looking pretty and heels or whatever.
I mean, I was fortunate to be in Samoa when Moi Moana was stepping down and Leetara won, and just the volume of work that went in behind the scenes, the families, the money, everything, yes. the support, the village surrounding them. I just thought, you know, this is...
It's not easy.
That's not easy. Like, yeah. and, you know, anyone who says otherwise, then, yeah.
And those girls are intelligent.
Oh, yeah.
Throw, you know, whatever topic that oh, they had to talk on, I was like, oh, gosh. If I entered now, I'll be standing there going, ah, mama.
Now, you'll be the one asking the questions as well.
No.
Has there ever been a time working where you thought, I don't want to do this anymore? Have you ever gotten to that point?
With my current role now?
Or just in media in general?
I mean, like, you'll have your off days. Yeah. Eh? Like, what everyone experiences, no matter what job they're in, like, oh, gosh. Having a bad day today. Yeah. But no, I've never felt that. And I hope I never feel that way because I genuinely do enjoy my role at the moment. I remember, like, reading your email about what we'll be talking about in our Tala Noa, and there was a line in your email asking, you know, what inspires you? And so every day when I go into work, what inspires me is Pacific representation. Seeing all these Pacific people, like we had the Cook Islands orthopedic surgeon, who's the first Pacific orthopedic surgeon in Aotearoa. So it's stories like that inspires me and I guess ups my game.
Yeah.
To be at a level where I can shine a light on other people who are the first Pacific. But to be honest, it shouldn't be like that, eh? Like the first Pacific person to be doing this, doing that. Like, we should have numbers of Pacific people in whatever space that is. But
100%. And, you know, there have been some statistics that journalism is not really the flavour of the month.
Yeah.
I can only imagine what the numbers are of Pacific that seem to be dwindling. What do you think that is?
Yeah, I mean...
It ain't the money. Sorry, I just, yeah. We're doing it for love, no.
I still have hope, though, for the industry.
Yeah.
I mean... We're living in an era where there's AI tools, there's lack of trust in media, funding cuts.
Yeah.
But, you know, seeing Pacific journalists out there that are pushing these Pacific stories to make the bulletins or make the homepage of the news website or whatever, you know, that gives me hope that storytelling is still a valuable part of our community.
Yeah.
And I hope we do see some more Pacific journalists because we're natural-born storytellers. Ah.
Mm.
Yeah. Like, why did you get into journalism? What was your why?
I got into it fairly late into my career here. I think I'd always, like you've been interested in telling our stories. But I think, I'm showing my age now, I think as a 53-year-old, I'm now starting to get comfortable with the idea of telling stories. That's how long it's taken me. I think when did I start? When I was about 27?
Oh.
So it's taken me this long to sort of get comfortable with the idea of, it's okay for me to share the stories. It's okay for me to tell the stories. And, you know, I was thinking about the wonderful advice that you've been given over the years. What advice are you giving to those who are now coming to you and see you as a role model, see you as not only the face and the voice with RNZ Pacific? What would you say to them about being part of this?
Don't be afraid to try. You know, I've seen a lot of people, they give in to their fears, or they're hesitant, they're reluctant to take on something because they're scared of what other people will think, what other people will say. But if it's something that's firmly rooted in your heart, go for it. Life is way too short. And I'm so glad it's funny, you know, I'm glad that lockdown had happened.
Yeah.
If I didn't reflect on the direction of my life, I don't think I would have the courage to have reached out to Moira and asked her about the role that they had going on at RNZ Pacific. So, yeah, that's my advice. Don't be afraid to try. Don't let others discourage you. Don't let your own self discourage you, you know. Life is way too short, you know. And hopefully you'll get to a place where I am right now and
that's awesome.
Interview so many incredible people.
Yeah. And from, you know, the journey that you've been on, is there anything else you think you'd want to tackle?
Oh, man, that's such a good question. You know what? I've been dabbling with the idea of making a documentary.
Get it?
Yeah. I remember messaging Alice actually last year about, you know, what it takes to make a documentary. Yeah. And I've just been, I feel like, I sound like I have no life, but every night after work, like, I'll go to my sitting room and I'll put on YouTube and just search up Pacific documentaries. Like last night, well, this week actually, I did a story on the Hawaiian Marine National Monument. That's part of it's going to be opened up to commercial fishing because of Trump signing that executive order. And so this marine area in Hawaii called Papahanao Mokuakea. Doesn't it sound so cool?
I know. Just as you said it, your pronunciation, bang on. I was like, oh, aloha.
So I was looking into that. And so this marine area has cultural significance to the Kanaka Maoli people in Hawaii.
Yeah.
It's where their creation story comes from. You know, we've got the Tangaloa stories in Samoa and Tonga and other Polynesian communities. But for them, Papahanao Mokuakea, that's where their origin story originates from. Mm. And I interviewed the Hawaiian academic who said that before the Americans had come over and overthrew the royal family, Kanaka Maoli would travel there to this marine area because they wanted to keep in touch with their origin, their ancestral lands northwest of the Hawaiian Islands. And so, you know, for them to see that Trump has signed off on this commercial fishing order to them, that's like, oh gosh, it's like the US, you know, invading us all over again.
My gosh.
And I actually went to Hawaii a few years back on a work trip, and I remember like going to Pearl Harbor, and man, and I was so, it left me feeling sad, because you think about the history of Hawaii and then for us Samoans, how we fought for independence. It's, gosh.
And they're still.
Feel, yeah, right? Like they're still fighting for sovereignty. And it brings tears to my eyes, like thinking about what our Samoan ancestors did to ensure that we were free from New Zealand's administration. But yeah, it's like stories like that. I end up going down a rabbit hole, you know, just looking at all these histories of other Pacific countries.
It shows also the wealth of stories that are out there that still need to be told.
Exactly.
That haven't been, you know, touched yet. So I'm looking forward to when you make your documentary. I'd love to come along and see that. So, you know, if you can give us a timeline, thank you, Susanna.
It's
then
still
we
in
will.
The brainstorming phase. Like, I don't think I've even had this conversation with my boss. But more
exclusive.
You know, that's one of my...
That's awesome. And, you know, with that, you know, another facet to your work, do you think our job is harder now that we've got social media? Because you can make whatever you want on this contraption.
Yeah.
Does it make our job harder, do you think?
I mean,
dare I say it's still relevant? Dare I say it?
Yeah, content creation, eh? That's on the rise.
Yeah.
And you have so many social media influencers.
It can be quite overwhelming at times.
Yeah, yeah. And so kind of leaves us traditional media folk. Are we going to be made redundant?
I like, you know, what you talked about is finding that, you know, those principles of journalism, you know, the neutrality, accuracy, balance, fairness. I mean, I'm not saying that people don't do that online, but we are held.
Yes, to a standard.
To a standard.
It's funny you say that. I remember talking to, gosh, I have so many I remember stories, but
that's the best kind.
I remember talking to someone about, you know, journalism, and I go, it's so weird being neutral when you come from a community that's historically been oppressed. But that's the reality of being a reporter. We've just got to stay neutral. Can't even share, you know, our opinions online, because then people will think, hang on, aren't you meant to be neutral? Why are you...
It's tough sometimes.
Posting about blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
Yeah. And for us at RNZ, we're told we can't attend protests.
Okay.
Can't share opinions online.
Yep.
And my boss would say it's because if you are seen at protests, or if you are, you know, sharing your opinions online, that weakens your credibility as a reporter. But yeah, I mean, as Pacific journalists, it's an interesting one because we have a unique cultural lens on issues.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I know that when I'm writing my story, I'm like, am I swaying to this certain opinion?
I hear that.
You know, how do I write without sounding like I'm trying to influence people about being pro this or pro that?
Yeah.
Like, how do I stay, you know, right in the middle?
That's so true. Because, you know, I love what you said about we celebrate the great stories.
Yes.
But we, like you said, we also don't shy away from those stories. And we talked about it before. We've been in the news of late for some, you know, not so good things. And I just sort of think, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Come on. But exactly what you said, we can't give an opinion publicly. But you know, I can't help but feel like, you know, when they lose, we lose.
Yes.
When they win, we win. But we feel the losses just as much.
Yeah, because we're Pacifica. We're Samoan Pacifica. We move in a collective, right?
Mm.
So when someone is caught doing something bad, we can't help but be like, oh, come on, really?
Yeah. It's 2026.
But then when we go to work, it's like, oh.
Yeah, so. And so and so, yeah. Pacific Waves, you are the presenter, the producer, wonderful current affairs show. Where can people find it? How do they get in touch with you?
They can listen to Pacific Waves on rnz.co.nz/Pacific. I say that every night on my outro, but that's where you can find Pacific Waves. You can listen to it on demand. If you're a diehard RNZ listener, you can catch it every night. Quarter to 10 on RNZ National. Yes. Awesome.
101.4 FM. And you've got some exciting projects coming up as well. So Monday to Friday, people can catch you?
Yes, Monday to Saturday.
Sorry. Monday to Saturday.
So every night on RNZ National. It does relay in every morning to our partner stations in the Pacific. Forgot how many partner stations that we've got an MOU with, but yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah, and we're also on BBC. I know.
That's awesome.
Weird, right?
No, not at all. That sounds like natural course of the way it should be.
Yeah, like, it's so funny because Pacific Waves, actually this year, we reached 1 million downloads.
Congrats.
And
that's no small feat. Congratulations.
Thank you,
well
thank
done.
You. I'm still kind of like, how did it happen? I've been in the role for like only 3 years. But yay, blessings. Blessings, right?
But the volume of work that you've done and the reach that you've had, over a million, that's... Yeah. I hope you pat yourself on the back for that. And your team.
Like, you know, as a psalm, when you're like, oh, I can do better.
Yeah, I know. But sometimes I think, you mentioned it about the imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's like, no. You know, give credit where credit's due. And that's no small feat, Susanna. That is.
Oh, thank you.
That is so awesome. So this next generation, they're listening. You would say to them, give it a go. For you, what is it that makes you light up when you think of this work?
What makes me, oh. Knowing that the stories that I put out, it has an impact. I can't think, I mean, there's been so many stories that I've done that has brought about change in some way. The one that I can think of now at the top of my head is when I interviewed someone from the Ni Vanuatu community, and she was saying that there was no Vanuatu Language Week. There was no Solomon Islands Language Week. I mean, we had the Samoan, Tongan, Kiribati, Fijian at the time. And this was 2022. And then I interviewed her, and then when that went out, the next year, I remember Barbara Edmonds, she was the Pacific People's Minister at the time, and she caught wind of my story. This is what Moira was telling me. And so that's when they had pushed in Vanuatu Language Week, Papua New Guinea Language Week, Solomon Islands Language Week. And so for that to have happened as a result of my story, that stuff like that, I guess that lights me up.
You're making change.
Yeah, that's what journalism is about as well, right? Bringing in those changes, no matter how small or, well, to me at the time, I was like, oh, that's a small change. But like, Moira was like, no, it's not. You know, these communities have been here in New Zealand for how many decades, and for them to have that sort of win, you know, with a language week, it matters. So don't think of like those changes as insignificant.
Well, it hasn't been insignificant, our time with you, and unfortunately it does have to come to an end. All good things. We have had the pleasure of talking with Susanna Susuki, presenter, broadcaster, journalist with RNZ Pacific Waves. Make sure you listen. We will link you to Susanna's show. Susanna, Malo Lover, it's been a privilege. We're going to do this again.
Yes, definitely. I had so much fun, and I'm sorry if I sound quite sickly, or I just rambled on, but
didn't ramble on at all. She's connecting our voices, folks. Thank you so much for your time. Take care, Susanna. We're going to talk again.
Yes, absolutely.
We cheer though miles apart, we're always near the same show, the same time, a rhythm, a style, lifting every voice higher, stories told side by side, Pacifica Wire, on air and online, tuning in together, no matter the weather, united we inspire, Pacifica Wire. Pacifica Wire, we're all on the line, make this your time. Ooh, lifting every voice higher, stories told side by side, Pacifica Wire, on air and online, tuning in together, no matter the weather.